welcome to this evening phone call, Monday night phone call, for the Authors Village and the Web 2.0 Community and Business. So this is a joint phone call for two of the coaching programs that I run. My name is Russell Cox, and we'll talk a little bit more about me and why I created two different programs in a few moments. But first, welcome. Welcome to be on the call. Welcome to listening to this recording. Welcome for those of you who have joined up with one or both of the communities. And I look forward to growing these things. We're launching them here in April and putting together some really cool training programs and workshops coming in May and June. And I'm looking forward to growing the communities and providing a lot more fun stuff. And both of the communities are essentially about, in the Author's Village, we talk about being well-heard and well-paid. In the Web 2.0 community, it's essentially the same thing, whether you've got a small business, whether you're an author, whether you're an entrepreneur with an idea. The idea is that you want to build a community of people who know and care about what you do. And so for authors, they're storytellers. They've got a story to tell, whether it's a novel or a factual story or training. You've got a story that you would like people to hear. And your goal is to attract an audience to you. In the case of the Web 2.0 community, your community could be a community of the users of a product. So you could be a small business and you have a product to sell. So, for example, one of my clients is Style for Life, and they have an exercise platform that you use called Whole Body Vibration, and it gives you a 60-minute exercise in 15 minutes, as well as enhancing circulation and a number of other things. And one of their goals is to create a community of people who like their machine, who like the ideas of how and why you use the machine. And so initially they've got their users group, or they have the people who bought the machine, but our job is now to bring those people together into a community and get them talking to each other. And we'll talk about the power and purpose of that. And the other thing to talk about is, what is this Web 2.0 thing? So I call it the Web 2.0 community and business, and we'll talk about what the definition of Web 2.0, how is it that things are now fundamentally different, now that we're talking 2008, the Internet's almost 20 years old now, the public Internet, things have changed. Things are very, very different, and almost no matter what you do, there are fundamentally different opportunities, and one of the key different opportunities is that for very low cost in time, in money, in technical skill, you can have a global presence. You can begin to be presenting your business or your book or your ideas in a global arena to a global audience very, very quickly. And so we're going to be talking about some of those tools. And then for the first half of the call, we'll focus on what is Web 2.0 and what do I mean by Web 2.0 community. And then the second half of the call will be about the Author's Village. What does it mean to be heard in the global village? The global village has finally arrived. And there's no doubting it anymore at all. And so what does that mean for an author? What does that mean for someone who's writing a book, someone who wants to make a living as a speaker or an author or a trainer? So we'll talk about those two things. So thank you and welcome. Once again, my name is Russell Cox. And the two communities that we're talking about are the Authors Village, which you can find at authorsvillage.com. Or the CollectiveX site is theauthorsvillage.collectivex.com. And then the other sister community is Web 2.0 Community and Business. And that's at communityandbusiness.collectivex.com. So those are the two communities that I'm hosting, and there are coaching and training programs associated with those, and you can learn more about those on the websites. But what this is about, my name is Russell Cox, and I've been doing coaching with entrepreneurs. I created my first internet business back in 1997, pretty much right about the time the internet went public and became available in the World Wide Web, as we used to call it in those days, as the World Wide Web became available to the public and not just governments. For those of you who may not remember, back before 95 or so, the internet was only available to universities and government contractors. And then around 95, 97, they opened it up to anyone and everyone, and that was the beginning. And that was the beginning of the World Wide Web. And now we have got to, that was, and that, all that, the stuff that was going on in 97 and 2000, the first internet boom and bust, all of that these days is talked about as Web 1.0. And in the Web 1.0 world, you would post a website, and it would sit there, and people would come and read it. And so it was kind of like an electronic book. And so in the old days, what it was an inexpensive way of publishing. And my first internet community was called The Select Investor, and it was a financial newsletter, which I got into because I discovered that I could publish a newsletter for almost no money. It cost me, you know, $20 a month or something to host the site. I did most of the work myself. So I was able to put up a newsletter, and I had clients all over the world talking about how do you invest in Fidelity Select mutual funds. And I did that just by setting up a website. But that website was very much a 1.0 website. The first one had almost no graphics on it. And it was just text. It was just people reading what I wrote every week. I wrote a weekly market commentary, and I published it like an e-zine. So I published the e-zine and the website. And that was Web 1.0. It was a publication model. Even when you're talking about people like the New York Times or CNN, basically they would publish content and other people would come and read it. So what has changed? What has changed is things like MySpace and YouTube, Facebook, any number of other, those are social networking sites where, and Wikipedia is the other big example of things that have changed, and we'll talk about it. What has changed is that if you go to MySpace, there are no MySpace editors publishing MySpace content. There's probably a newsletter in there somewhere produced by the people from MySpace, but that's not why anyone goes to MySpace. Nobody goes there to read the MySpace editorial published by MySpace.com. People go to MySpace to look at other people's pages. People go to Wikipedia to read encyclopedia entries written by other individuals, not the encyclopedia's entries written by the Wikipedia staff. So one phrase for this is called user-generated content. This is kind of a technical term. So this is a situation where it's not the owners of the site that produce the stuff people read. It's not the owners of YouTube or Google now who produce the videos that people download and watch. That's Web 2.0. Web 2.0 is this world where it's not about the owner of the site. The owner may produce a certain amount of the content. The owner almost always sets the context. Wikipedia, they say this is an encyclopedia, no commentary. This is about facts and history. You know, MySpace, they set a few community rules, and mostly we know it's about, you know, music and teens and different flavors of fan clubs. And so the owners will set the ground rules, and they may set some of the content the way Wikipedia does, or, for example, my Style for Life community. You know, everyone will know that the community is about health and wellness, exercise and movement. But once we get it going, it's going to be about not what does the company Style for Life produce, but what do the professionals, the trainers and the chiropractors and the massage therapists who use the equipment, what do they do? And so those are different ways, and we'll talk more about that as we go as well, but how you create a community of users and how you get those users to produce the content that everybody else wants to read and use. So that's a bit of a lecture, but it's interesting. And what we need to know is that things are very different. The other thing that is radically different is that most of this stuff is cheap or free. MySpace is free. Collective X, the community that you probably found this recording from, is free. ZioSoft, the community that hosts this recording, so the when you click the download to listen to this recording, that's coming from a company called ZioSoft. And so for this bridge call for the recording for the webpage that hosts this recording, that's $47 a month. Not free, but not terribly expensive either. And so now what's new in the Web 2.0 world is that anybody can begin posting content. Anybody can quickly set something up and begin attracting a global audience for little or no cost. Does that make sense? Okay. So the idea is we've come into this new world, and there are some other threads that are making this a very powerful piece. There's a book called The Profit Zone, written by Adrian Slowatsky, one of my favorite high-tier business consultants. And one of the things he's been talking about for many, many years now is this idea that in the modern business world, consumers are getting really tired of being sold stuff, and advertising environment is getting so crowded that you can't get your message across anyway. So in order to get your message across, you have to really shout, you have to really scream, you have to really overblow your message. And a lot of people are getting really tired of that. And there are other elements of it, some of them coming from the Web 2.0 side of things, some of them coming from other aspects of technology and society. But what's going on in the broader economy, and the current recession is a key indicator of that as well, is that the old way of doing business basically doesn't work anymore. He calls it the no-profit zone. Most standard businesses are finding that stuff that used to work 2 or 3 years ago just doesn't work anymore. Your marketing isn't interesting. People who used to pay, I don't know, $500 for your product are complaining now that you're charging $100. So prices are really dropping. Money's tight. People aren't interested. All kinds of things are shifting. And part of that is this transition into the Web 2.0 world. And the key thing is the Web 2.0 world and the Web 2.0 community gives you a way to completely combat all of that fatigue from the Web 1.0 world and the old marketing model. So there's a way out. The old style doesn't really work. A lot of the stuff that you learned in the old style, so marketing and writing, and so a lot of the techniques from the old school will still work in the new school, but you need to put them in a new wrapper. You need to put them in a new context that gets people's interest. And the main element of that context is authorities telling people things. If it's a technical authority, you still have some weight. But if it's a business authority or a marketing authority, most folks don't really care very much anymore. They want to hear what their friends are doing. They want to watch the YouTube video shot by some other individual, and they don't really care who. Doesn't matter whether the video is shot by a professional or an amateur. If it's funny, if it's engaging, if it's new, people want to see it. And that's the world that we're moving into. And for many of us, the old world is already beginning to evaporate, and we have very little choice but to try and find something new and different. And that is what the Web 2.0 community and business community side is all about, is exploring these new techniques. So one of the elements, one of the things, if you go to the Web 2.0 Community Collective X site, you'll see the outline there. And we talk about these three areas of interest. One is the audience. One is building your internet audience. How do you get people to hear you? And we'll talk more about that when we get to the Author's Village half of the call. And that will be all about how do you use powerful yet inexpensive and easy to use Web 2.0 tools to develop a global audience for your book and your message. So that's the second half of the call. I'll mention a little bit about it now. The next one is community. Is, okay, let's assume you've got, say, 1,000 readers or 10,000 readers all over the planet. Well, what do you do with those folks? You've got 10,000 people who've read a blog entry, they've read an article, or they've read your book, and they said, wow, this sounds interesting, I'd like to learn more. In traditional marketing, there's not a lot for them to do. They can go to your website and they could buy something. They could get on your e-zine and start collecting spam from you. They could maybe take a workshop or maybe buy a second book or something like that. In the Web 2.0 world, what they can do is they can join a community of like-minded people. So again, in the Style for Life example, someone who likes the whole body vibration way of doing things, someone who likes the gentle yet effective practices that become available using that particular hardware and techniques, they don't necessarily want to hear what the company has to say about that. They want to talk to 50 other people who use it. They want to talk to other people who've lost weight using the machine. Or they want to find a network of professionals, massage therapists and chiropractors, who use the machine effectively. And so they want to go ask their questions about their back pain, not from the company, but to a chiropractor who's been using the machine for a while. And they want to choose who that person is. They want to choose which expert they want to talk to and which expert they want to listen to. Web 2.0, the whole idea of creating a community around your business, a community around your message, is that you gain this credibility. You gain a couple of things. You gain a support group so that people can go to the community and ask questions about your products or about your book, and most of the time other users in your group are going to answer those questions. So you and your staff don't have to answer most questions. In the old world, this was done with a FAQ, an FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions page. And for most people, if they had one at all, it was a list of 10 or 20 questions with short answers. And it was very static. And if you had a different question, you were out of luck. With a community, people go to the community and they ask their question to the community, and you've got 50 or 100 people, and I call them your 100 zealots, 50 or 100 dedicated users who really like what you do, and most of the time they will pass along good, solid advice to the new guys, to the newbies, the people who are looking for brand new information. And that new person will believe that information much more and find it much more engaging information, precisely because it wasn't written by a professional marketing person making $100 or $200 an hour. It's written by an average person who's been using your product or service, read your book, seen you speak, someone who likes what you do, has passed on why they like what you do. That sort of marketing is very, very valuable. And with tools like CollectiveX, another tool that we'll talk about in the Web 2.0 community site is called Ning, N-I-N-G. It's a different type of community site, and it has its pluses and minuses. And we'll talk about why would you use CollectiveX and why would you use Ning, why would you use a regular blog site, why would you use article marketing and press releases, and all the different roles for the different kinds of tools that are out there. And there are lots and lots of them. So the next thing is this building a community. And the key difference between, again, even a Web 2.0 interactive site like, say, Wikipedia. Wikipedia is a very, very much a Web 2.0, kind of defined Web 2.0. All of the content is user-generated. There are no official paid authors for Wikipedia. Like I said, there might be a couple here and there, but almost all of the content is produced by volunteers who choose to write it, and it is edited by other volunteers who choose to read it and correct things that are wrong. But there isn't really a lot of community there. You can go and you can read what other people have written. You can see what's done there. For a particular topic, I suspect the top, 10 or 15 writers all get to know each other pretty well. They know who wrote which paragraph and why, and they go read each other's bios. But there's not a lot of community to Wikipedia, even though it is interactive, even though it is user-generated. So what that means is there isn't a lot of trust there either. And it certainly means that social text, the people who host Wikipedia, are not in a position to sell the readers of Wikipedia anything, or to recommend anything in particular, other than social text itself. So again, in the classes we do, we'll be creating wikis. You can go to, a wiki is another example of a Web 2.0. You can create your own encyclopedia. So as we go through and start defining terms and writing some articles. We'll be creating a wiki on the Web 2.0 community. Certainly, several of the chiropractors I'm working with in the Style for Life community are looking forward to putting together a wiki on the technical terms associated with using whole body vibration amongst chiropractors and other professionals. So when you've got your place, you can put up a simple wiki for free. If you have a lot of authors and the like, you end up paying for that. But almost all of these things you can get started for free, just like Collective X. Anyone can set up their own Collective X community for free. And it doesn't cost very much to start taking off the advertising and putting up your own banners. One thing you might notice is the Collective X sites that I have at the moment are all using the free mode, and I don't have any fancy graphics or anything. The most I spent was for the Author's Village. I went to a guy called KillerCovers.com and paid him $200 to give me a banner and a book cover. And that was it. The rest of it's just text. And the reason for that is to demonstrate that it doesn't have to be fancy. You can attract an audience of tens or hundreds with almost nothing flashy. Very simple stuff. And so at least for the next several months or so, you're going to see that's pretty much all we're going to use. We're not going to be adding a lot of glitz and glam to the site. No videos, no fancy stuff. Just plain and simple, what could anyone do for at most a few $100 and some time? And that's one of the key things that happens. Two things about Web 2.0. One, anyone can do it, and in a few more years, almost everyone's going to have to do it because old-style marketing is really losing its traction. And most businesses are finding that they're moving into this no-profit zone where even if you can build and sell your products, your users aren't going to let you build and sell your products at a profit. There's going to be so much price pressure on you and people like you that even if you can build it, even if you have a large number of sales, making more than a marginal profit is almost impossible in a traditional business. People are having to do and find different ways. And typically what that looks like, what those different ways typically look like, by the way, is mining the intellectual property, mining the stories you have to tell, mining your know-how, mining things that you already know how to do that you're not yet selling. So we're moving into a world where there are so many products that while you can build and sell another cola, you're probably not going to become a blindingly profitable company by coming out with a different flavor of Coke. And so we'll be talking about those business issues. That's what the business thing is about. In both the Authors Village and the Web 2.0 community and business, ultimately the bottom line is not only do you want to build a community and you want to build a community of trust, you ultimately want to be well paid for your work. In my opinion, there's absolutely nothing wrong with getting well paid for your work. If you're doing good work, you deserve to be paid. And in fact, most people will not value the work you do unless they pay for it. And so in both the Authors Village and in community and business, there will be a track and a section. In fact, that's the third topic. In community and business is business, products, support, and sales. How do you take the borrowed and accrued trust that you develop by creating a community, inviting authorities other than yourself to be a member of that community? So in the Authors Village, there will be other book publishers, there will be other best-selling authors as members of the community, so I won't be the only authority there. I'll be one among many. In Web 2.0, again, there will be many of the members of the community will be as experienced, if not more, than I, certainly at different aspects of it. There are plenty of people who are much better copy editors than I am. There are plenty of people who are, everybody's a better graphic artist than I am. And so it's not about me providing everything. It's about me deciding who's going to be sitting around the campfire, who's going to be in the room trying to decide how we solve these problems that we all face. So the kind of in conclusion piece is this all wraps up that ultimately it is about business and sales and profitability. And that is the main reason we all need to be focused on Web 2.0 communities. There's another book that I'll be posting up a review and some comments about called Marketing to the Social Web. And it's kind of one of the textbooks I'll be using in pretty much both of these communities. And what they're getting at is kind of the short answer is if you can create a community and you learn how to communicate effectively with that community, you can market better at much lower cost. One of the quotes is Glaxo, a drug company, wanted to introduce a weight loss drug. And before they ever did, they created an internet community, an online community, to help people lose weight. So they spent a year talking to people who were trying to lose weight and serving people who were trying to lose weight before they ever introduced their drug to the market. And by the time they did, when we talk about the marketing side of these things, what your community becomes is it becomes a 24/7 focus group. And when you learn how to use that well, people will enjoy being a member of your community. They will be getting value from your community, but you'll basically be getting paid. They will pay you for you to do your market research. By them buying an ebook here and there or a webinar here and there, you'll be able to cover all of the costs of creating and maintaining your community. And what you have created is a few hundred or a few thousand dedicated customers who are more than happy to share with you thoughts and ideas about how you can do your job better, how you can design your products better, how you can design your marketing better, how you can service your customers and clients better. And when you do it right, they'll pay you for the privilege of being a part of your customer support group or a part of your focus group. And that's what the business section of Web 2.0 community is all about, is how do we create these communities of interest, use it to develop trust, and having accrued trust with our community, how do we then, in a respectful and honorable way, go through and use their wisdom about our products to improve our products, and ultimately to improve our profitability, to ensure our profitability when most businesses are entering this no-profit zone and are operating in a world where it's very, very tough to make a living. And that's only going to get worse in the coming years until and unless you learn to use some of these Web 2.0 tools. And that's just as true if you're a brick-and-mortar office. Last week, I think it was, if you go to the Authors Village site, and then I'll also put some links on the Web 2.0 site, but I'll put up links to last week's call as well as this week's call. And last week's call, I was talking about that. I was giving an example of a woman who has a very much a brick-and-mortar business. She has office space for rent. So she's got a group office space where you have a monthly fee. You become a member, and there is kind of a foyer with tables, and there's, you know, coffee and tea is included in your membership, and copy machines and fax machines and all that is included in your membership. So you go to this office space and you use it. It's called My Day Office here in Seattle, and you go there and you use it as your office space. You can rent private offices. You can share the meeting space and rent the meeting space. So most people would think of that as a brick-and-mortar office. What's internet about that? What's community about that? Well, last week I spent quite a lot of time talking about how she could build an internet, an online community of both the people who are near her office as well as the people who use her office. And so if you go and listen to last week's call on Web 2.0 community, I talked a lot about how a brick-and-mortar kind of business can really benefit from creating an online community. Now, let's wrap up the discussion on what is Web 2.0. So if we remember, the wrap-up of Web 2.0 is this new world where we're talking about interactive websites like MySpace, like CollectiveX, which is where the Web 2.0 community is located. And we're talking about the fact that most of these websites are cheap or free. MySpace is obviously free. You can create a CollectiveX community for free. A Ning site is free. Almost all of these things start with some sort of free offering. Then the next piece is you use these tools to bring together a community of people with shared interests. And your job is to get your audience to produce at least as much content as you do. So even if you're an author, you want your readers to be talking about why what you write about is so cool. And if you count enough words, if you're doing your job right, your fans are doing a lot more writing than you are. And that is this element of Web 2.0. It's interactive, it's very inexpensive, and when you do the job right, your customers are doing most of the work for you. What you're getting paid for is that last little bit of expertise, the difference between a good amateur and a professional, the difference between okay products and very high-quality products, or the right product at the right price. Whatever it is your service is, what you get paid for is that last piece of professionalism. Almost everything else is moving out to users. I just went to the grocery store and went through the U-Scan, where I'm being essentially allowed to be my own cashier. So when you look at it from the grocery store's point of view, they are teaching me to be their cashier so they don't have to pay them. From my point of view, it's convenient. I actually like those. I didn't think I would like them until I use them a few times. And actually, yeah, if I've only got a handful of items, I'd much rather just go through and do it myself. Same thing with ATMs. Initially, people thought they would hate them. Once they were there, people started using them, and now we couldn't live without them. That's user-generated content in the old school, in the physical world, U-Scan and ATMs. So that's an introduction to what is Web 2.0 all about. There will be lots of free content on the Web 2.0 community and business, and there will also be some paid coaching and training that goes along with that. So please stick around. Please listen some more. Let me put a pause here to do a bookmark on the recording, and we'll be back in a moment.